Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 17, The Green-Eyed Monster, Jealousy and Envy. Jealousy is often regarded as a green-eyed monster for a couple of reasons. First, the color green supposedly symbolizes jealousy in stories, movies, and plays. Second, the so-called monster represents feelings that threaten to overtake a person so they will attack others with their jealousy and envy, so the legend says. What is jealousy and what are the causes? Jealousy, kina in Hebrew or zelos in Greek, is translated as a passionate feeling of intensity. It's an enthusiastic willingness to focus on what we want or what we wish was different. The outcome is an obsession which can lead to other issues such as anger or depression. Jealousy is the perspective that someone has something desirable to us that we don't have, but our life would be so much better if we did have it. Then we get stuck in the quicksand of not only desiring, but demanding. Jealousy can be motivated by insecurity and a sense of inadequacy as we compare ourselves to others, along with the fear of being rejected or replaced. Jealousy can come from the wrong motives of wanting to be number one and the best and better than. Most of us, at some time in our life, have had thoughts and feelings of jealousy. It could be regarding someone's looks, popularity, power, status, wealth, or worldly assets, or their intelligence, talents and skills, job and occupation. Jealousy can spring from a sense of ownership, such as, it is my spouse. For example, look at this quote when it comes to a jealous spouse. There is no greater glory than love, nor any greater punishment than jealousy. Jealousy is that pain which a person feels from the apprehension that they are not equally beloved by the person whom they entirely love. There are many reasons that can cause us to become jealous or envious. The key is assessing what the reason is and then how to rid ourselves immediately of the green-eyed monster that rears its ugly head toward us. Basically, jealousy involves many root issues such as ungratefulness, a sense of entitlement, discontentment, greed, fear, and insecurity. And then jealousy causes many other problems such as anger, bitterness, retaliatory, despair, depression, and others. What does the Bible say about jealousy? Proverbs 27, verse 4, wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Jealousy does not rest. It's a cruel master that can get out of hand quickly because it consumes and controls us, and then we continually react in a negative way that is harmful to relationships. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? This verse in context, Paul was speaking about the Corinthians that were showing their lack of spiritual maturity because they were staying stuck in their jealousies, which was causing continual strife amongst them. Jealousy will always cause more and more conflicts with others. Jealousy and strife go hand in hand. mature Christians behave differently from unsaved people or brand new born-again Christians. This is because they are not giving in to the works of the flesh or their own humanness by allowing jealousy to control them. Instead, they rely on praying for the power of the help of the Holy Spirit to help them behave as Christians should, as they follow Christ and not their own reactions to trials and problems. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Jealousy and envy is in this list. Again, we see in these verses that strife is tied to jealousy and envy. So when we have conflict and contentions with others, we can stop and ask ourselves if we have a problem with being jealous or envious, and if so, how will we specifically rid ourselves of this? Proverbs 6, verse 34, "For jealousy makes a man furious, and he will not spare when he takes revenge." In context, this verse is speaking about sexual sin, such as adultery, and the afflictions that is brought on because of it. See Proverbs 6, verses 27 through 33. Solomon speaks of jealousy and revenge against the adulterer. The wronged spouse can express a furious type of anger without showing mercy. This verse warns us that the choice to participate in sexual sin can cause others to battle with reactionary sins such as rage, which is understandable from a purely human perspective. A person shouldn't participate in sexual sin, nor should a person respond with a furious rage because of sin in others. There are many other ways we can deal with it. Sin of any kind is just giving in to the ugly monster that wants to eat us and our relationships alive. That's why we are warned against it. Now, just a note, pornography, flirtatious ways, lusting after others, immodest clothing, immoral actions such as lewd dancing from a man or a woman can produce jealousy that leads to severe relationship problems. It's not just adultery. There are other ways that might seem insignificant, acceptable in society, or minimized, but they nonetheless dishonor God and His ways while also showing disrespect to others. These don't build relationships, but rather eventually tear them down. It's not always the obvious big choices, but also the subtle, seemingly harmless ones that can eventually be just as destructive in the long run. This can lead to jealousy and all kinds of other ugly things. The question is, where do we draw the line? What do we accept? And what do we think is okay to toy with? Because now we are creating our own consequences that we will have to deal with, if not immediately, then in the future, and also others will suffer because of our choices. What does the Bible say about envy? A simple definition of envy is to want what belongs to someone else. A more thorough description of envy is a resentful, dissatisfied longing for another's possessions, position, achievements, or success in any area. The Bible says envy is an act of the flesh, the result of giving in to our own human sin nature. Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Now, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. James 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom, worldly wisdom, does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. James tells his readers in a previous verse that wise people live wisely, participating in good deeds with great humility. In this particular verse, he warns his readers not to lie to themselves. A person should not assume they are wise if they carry bitter envy and selfish ambition in their hearts. And certainly, they must not boast about it in their worldly ambitions. A question might be, why would anyone boast about their envy that led to having selfish ambition? Well, think about the self-focused motives of wanting a career that wants to keep up with the wealth of others, that wants to be admired as the boss babe, that must sacrifice the priorities within her own family. It's not the job that is a wrong motive. It's the wrong choice of putting money and power as a priority above people and a relationship with God first and foremost of all. And then boasting about being a worldly rock star that has success at the expense of what is truly important. James tells us this is not wise because eventually, this will cause lots of disorder and strife in our life and relationships. At first, this goal seems great and good, nothing wrong with it. But if you follow some of the eventual downfalls of these types of life coaches in success, power, fame, and money, it's really quite sad and scary. They lose what was once truly important and of value to them for the sake of listening to worldly wisdom that has a high, painful price. Nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with having a great career. But it becomes wrong when the motive is wrong. The Apostle Paul defined worldly motives as the desires or the lusts of the flesh, or envy and jealousy, or the sinful humanness of man's self-centeredness. 1 John 2, verse 16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. Make no mistake, the Bible calls envy a sin. As one evangelical dictionary puts it, envy is the sin of jealousy over the blessings and achievements of others and the desire to have that. Galatians 5, verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What are the consequences of envy or jealousy? Well, I just want to give a note here. There are many other consequences, but here are just a couple. First, envy and jealousy is a waste of our time and life. It's useless. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 4, then I saw that all toil and skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind. Second, envy and jealousy causes rottenness to our body and mind. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but envy and jealousy is rottenness to the bones. In the New International Version, it says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." The Bible is adamant about envy's self-destructive nature. This verse is indicating that envy is like bone cancer, which is incredibly destructive to the body. The Hebrew word translated as envy in this verse describes an intense and sometimes violent emotion or insatiable desire. The term is closely associated with jealousy, anger, and a strong passion that seems to be out of control. Bones in this verse refers to the status of the whole person. The bones are the seat of one's health and strength. Thus, rottenness in the bones is a state of moral, spiritual, emotional, and physical decay. Nurturing an attitude of envy is rottenness to the bones because it is detrimental to a person's thoughts, their mental state of mind, their body and physical health, their spiritual security and stability, their emotions, and how they deal with people and relationships God's way. In literal terms, this verse is speaking of a healthy heart, in contrast to jealousy or passionate about envy. So the indication is that the heart is not healthy when jealousy and envy reside in it. Medical research actually affirms what this verse teaches. What is the contrast of having or not having jealousy and envy? Well, let's look at just three comparisons in detail. One, jealousy and envy steal away a person's peace. Jealousy and envy cause inner turmoil that comes out in either very mad or sad reactions to others. This is because jealousy and envy eat away at a person, and then they are always on high alert of what they don't have, what they should have, and therefore they are very unhappy and in turmoil in their life and relationships. But a person that forbids jealousy and envy to rule their life and relationships pursues peaceful thoughts that trust in what God does in their life for their maturity and equipping in His kingdom. God wants us to focus on the eternal and not the temporal. Worldly thoughts will cause us to want more. Godly thoughts are grateful for what we already have, which causes a peaceful life. Second, jealousy and envy cause all kinds of emotional issues: stress, worry, anxiety, bitterness, resentment, discontentment, and displeasure. Frustration and wrath are just a few. What we focus on will have an outcome, for good or bad. But a person that rids themselves of jealousy and envy prevents all kinds of negative emotions, thoughts, words, and reactions. They are stable and secure and refocus on God's words and ways instead of allowing the ways of the world and the wants of oneself to become a focal point. We become our thoughts. Stable and secure people surround their thoughts on the scriptures. Third, a heart full of jealousy and envy acts like a cancer, consuming the person from the inside as it churns and churns. And then the ugly green-eyed monster rears its ugly head and spews out poisonous words that harm others and hurt relationships. The person that deals with the beginning thoughts of jealousy and envy by ridding themselves of them right away learns to put the power of prayer and the choice to trust in the wisdom of God for solutions that will move them forward and away from what seeks to destroy them through jealousy and envy. Ezekiel 35, verse 11. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord God, I will deal with you according to the anger and envy that you showed because of your hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I judge you. The Bible paints a vivid picture of envy's devastating effects. Envy and jealousy set us on a course of destruction to ourselves, our relationships, and our walk with God. Scripture gives several vivid examples of those who allow jealousy and envy to control their choices. For example, the envy of others led to people delivering Jesus up to a brutal death. Mark 15, verse 10. For Jesus perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. Cain was envious of God's pleasure toward Abel's sacrifice and therefore murdered his own brother. Joseph's brothers were jealous of their father's favoritism toward Joseph and therefore sold him into slavery. And this is why favoritism is not good. King Saul, being jealous of David because of the praise others were giving him for winning battles, tried to kill him again and again. King David made sure Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, would be killed in battle because David envied the wife Uriah had. Note, this is not to say any and all jealousy and envy leads to terrible acts of violence, such as murder. But what it does indicate is that it leads to other types of sin, such as anger against God or others, or detrimental emotional issues. At the root of jealousy and envy is self-centeredness and a displeasure with God. And yes, as previously stated, the roots can also include the fear of someone taking our place, not being good enough, comparing because of greed, having a sense of entitlement, the focus on worldliness, and the list goes on and on. Regardless of the root of our jealousy and envy, there are consequences that truly harm our own potential and our personal relationship with God and others. Therefore, we are warned to avoid and rid ourselves of envy and jealousy. Scripture states that it is foolish, unrighteous, and disobedient, and thus leads us astray and makes us slaves to it. Titus 3, verse 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Jesus says that envy is a sin of the heart. Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. And Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. This is why we need to stop and assess what is going on inside our hearts and thoughts, because this is where jealousy and envy start. And then all else comes from this, our behavior, reactions, word, and actions. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says we should guard our heart, which is our thoughts, with all diligence, because from out of it flows the issues or choices and behaviors of life. This scripture implies that whatever we allow to enter our hearts and minds, if not examined and evaluated properly, will undoubtedly be expressed in our lives and actions in a positive or negative way. What's the difference between envy and jealousy, biblically speaking? Although similar, and although they are often experienced together, envy and jealousy are not exactly the same. In some contexts, envy and jealousy are interchangeable terms because both relate to covetousness. The same word translated envious in the New American Standard Bible is translated jealous in the New Living Translated in some verses because it is relating to coveting something. But the difference between envy and jealous is a fine line. Envy always has an outward focus. We desire some item, person, or attribute possessed by someone else, and we are discontent or resentful about us not having it. Jealousy is often found in a more restricted context of the protection of one's own items or relationships, especially romantic relationships. You can envy someone else for her husband, but someone flirting with your own husband makes you jealous, not envious. In a nutshell, envy is a reaction to lacking something that another person possesses. It's the distress or resentment we feel when others have what we don't have. Jealousy is a reaction to the fear or threat of losing something or often someone we think we possess. It's the sense of dread or suspicion we feel when we might have something taken away from us. Jealousy and envy are two sides of the same coin. Jealousy is based on fear, while envy is more based on resentment. What about envying evil men or sinners? Proverbs 23:17, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Proverbs 24:1, be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. Proverbs 24:19, fret not yourselves because of evildoers, and be not envious of the wicked. Among Satan's most effective tricks is making people think they are missing out by not having what they want or what seems fair for them to get or have. This was the seed of doubt to plant mistrust in God's wisdom used by Satan in the Garden of Eden with Eve. She believed the seeds of doubt and then convinced Adam. The thinking became their Creator's rules were keeping them from something better, as found in Genesis 3:1-7. Of course, that was a lie based on deception that brought much destruction. Let's look at Psalm 73. In verses 2-3, Asaph is faced with this temptation of envy. This almost caused him to make shipwreck of his faith. He was bitter over the way those who denied God seemed to have better lives than those that walked with God and loved him. However, his reverence for the Lord drove him to the sanctuary of God, and there he was reminded of the ultimate dreadful future of all sinners, as found in verses 16-20. In the sanctuary, he also came to his senses and realized how blessed he was to have God's presence, protection, provision, and providential care seen in verses 21-28. Therefore, Asaph remembered he had what he needed and was grateful for that. What is godly jealousy? Exodus 34, verse 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God is described as being provoked to jealousy in a good way over idolatry, Exodus 20, verses 4 through 5, because we are to worship Him alone and no other false gods. We are to rightly belong only to Him and only have a relationship with Him as we worship only Him. Just as in marriage, there should be no one that comes in between spouses. In the context of Exodus 34, God's jealousy for Israel meant that He was unwilling to share His people with other gods. This kind of jealousy was not selfish or petty, but righteous and loving, because God knew that worshiping false gods would only bring about destruction on those He loved. Let's do Pat. Practical application time. 4 tools to reject the green-eyed monster. First tool, do not give in to envy and jealousy. Second tool, do not covet. Third tool, be content. And fourth tool, be grateful. First tool, do not give in to envy and jealousy. Don't play with the green-eyed monster. If we allow him to play in the attic of our mind and the inner places of our hearts, then we ourselves will become quite scary in our words, reactions, and behavior. Who we hang around with, even in our minds, is who we become like. Therefore, it's essential we surrender to the command of God to rid ourselves of envy and jealousy. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8, therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, etc. How do we accomplish this? Well, Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to be our helper, our guide, our teacher, so we can walk in the ways of the Holy Spirit and not in the ways of our human flesh, our sinful ways. Ask the Holy Spirit to help when the green-eyed monster starts to creep into the doors of your mind. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, in context, this verse is addressing false teachers with their deceitful speech. Nonetheless, the concept is still the same. We are at war with deceitful arguments we have in our heads about what we should have or shouldn't have because of being jealous or envious. This is against God and is not obedient to the ways of Christ. We do not fight against the people we seem to be envious or jealous of, but rather we fight against our spiritual enemy, Satan, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy our potential for eternal purposes. We fight the spiritual battle with prayer and praise as we surrender to solutions found in Scripture about jealousy and envy. Second tool, do not covet. Don't compare and thus nurture a sense of displeasure. We need to be satisfied with what God has decided is best for us to have or not have. Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Another word in the Bible closely related with closely associated with envy is covetousness. To covet is to have an excessive desire to possess what belongs to another. Covetousness is a dissatisfaction with what God has given us or not given us, and an obsessive fascination with what he has given to someone else. The 10th commandment addresses envy and jealousy by forbidding covetousness in Exodus 20, verse 17, wanting what someone else has or what God has not given us. Third tool, be content. Contentment is the opposite of being envious. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. When we realize walking a godly life by being content is the true gain in our life, then we are focused on the eternal and not the temporal. The temporal always wants more. Discontentment brings about greed, and greed feeds envy. Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Christ teaches us that our contentment should be where the true treasures are, and that is in living our life to glorify God, to focus on Him. Why are we really on this earth? What is our purpose? Is it to gain for ourselves and get what we want? Or is it to gain for the kingdom of God through doing good works? If our heart is in these eternal treasures, then we don't have room in our heart to covet or envy what will not matter someday in the bigger picture of eternity. Fourth tool, be grateful. Being ungrateful for all that God has already given us causes us to be dissatisfied with the many blessings He has already given us on a daily basis. Unthankfulness tells God He isn't enough, He doesn't do enough, and He doesn't give us enough. Ungratefulness is simply a display of self-focus on our own desires. At the root of ungratefulness is a dissatisfied heart rooted in envy because it longs for what we don't have. We can't be grateful when we expect or require more. The cure for envy is to focus on being grateful for everything. In all things, give thanks. Every good gift is from above. It's important to stop every day and take in all the blessings God has given us and be grateful for each and every one. Why do we want more? They can be taken away from us in a matter of seconds. What if we can't pay our bills and thus must forfeit our home because we no longer have a job or are unable to work? Shouldn't we be grateful for having a home no matter how small it is or no matter what we don't like about it? Our appearance we used to have is now disfigured because of a car accident, and we wish we wouldn't have complained so much about how we looked. Shouldn't we be grateful for however God created us to look, because He makes us beautiful in His sight? We don't care anymore about how skinny we wished we were like our friend, because now we have cancer that will definitely make us lose an unhealthy amount of weight because of being sick all the time. Shouldn't we be grateful right now that we have the opportunity to eat and exercise in a way that is helpful before we perhaps become sick with disease? The person that makes us so mad is no longer with us, and we realize how much we really love them, but it's too late. Shouldn't we be grateful for the good they do have toward us? Or what? What if what we had were taken away from us and we barely had anything that we at one time thought was not enough? In this moment of time, and in all moments of time, it's important to realize we live in today of being grateful for all we have, because it truly is a gift that we don't know how long we will have. Enjoy everything God has given us instead of doing what envy wants us to do. Want more. Yes, we will have trials. Yes, we will go without. Yes, life doesn't seem fair when others get what we think we deserved. Yes, in our own human mind, what we have now is not enough, but it will never be enough. That is what envy does. We might get what we desired, and then that is not enough. We are back to the wanting of more. But gratefulness and thankfulness teaches us we have so much more than we actually deserve. The root causes of jealousy and envy are connected to a person's inability to see what God has provided in their life with a lack of thankfulness. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. With all my heart, I praise the Lord. I will never forget how kind he has been. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. When we keep our focus on Jesus dying on a cruel cross for us so that we may have eternal life, this means we realize we really shouldn't be jealous or envious. All else are just added benefits to what we already have been given: Jesus and eternal life in heaven. John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's recap the four tools to reject the green-eyed monster. First tool, to not give in to envy and jealousy. Second tool, do not covet. Third tool, be content. Fourth tool, be grateful. Now, the balance is, if you can do something about what is causing envy, then do something about it. Find solutions to overcoming jealousy. Get some godly, wise counsel for personal steps of action. Jealousy and envy don't just magically go away. Sometimes we need to know how to get unstuck so we can move forward. For example, if we are coveting or envying what someone has, such as a great personality, then we can work on making ours better instead of just living in the discontentment of not having good people skills. What really matters to us as followers of Christ? Sometimes we need to just stop and think about what we are thinking about. Assess it according to the Word of God, and then take our pick of what kind of person we want to be. Jealous or content? Envious or grateful? Please share these podcasts with others so we all can walk in the ways of the Lord, because we know the Word of God. Please subscribe to get all future podcasts presented every Wednesday afternoon. Take care. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of our God endures forever.